Not too long ago, Ireland was called the Celtic Tiger. Business was booming, real estate was king, but the tiger's been caged. The government and the European Union now trying to figure a way out of a massive banking crisis and staggering debts. The Irish government has taken over three banks so far, more takeovers are expected, and the EU is worried that other EU members, namely Portugal and Spain, could follow in Ireland's downward spiral. But Dublin says it doesn't need a bailout from Europe. The BBC's Evan Davis has the story of how Ireland got into this predicament.
There used to be a joke. We're arriving in Dublin. Please remember to turn your watch back 200 years. But then, in the 1990s, the joke became out of date. Ireland suddenly fast-forwarded itself from a backwards agricultural economy to an industrial one. It hit growth rates of 10% a year, third world to first in the blink of an eye. You can see the modernity, the eye-catching Samuel Beckett Bridge, the convention centre, the flashy new terminal at the airport, which opens shortly. Yes, Ireland's progress was real. But alas, genuine transformation turned into a ludicrous property bubble. And the question the country faces now is how much of the apparent progress it's achieved was just froth. I meet up with the Lord Mayor of Dublin, Gerry Breen, a Fine Gael councillor.
Probably if we freeze-framed about the year 2005 in terms of what we were doing economically, we could have sustained it. But I don't think you can say, oh, we're back now to 1999. Probably emotionally for the country, we're probably worse than we were in 87, because it's like the fella says, it's not the drop that killed you, it's when you hit the ground. And we have really dropped out of the sky from, as I say, where we thought we were doing something magical.
You go back in about half an hour, yeah?
Taxi driver Val came here from Romania in the good times. He tries to remain upbeat about things. Perhaps that's easier when you've lived under Ceausescu.
But I don't think we ever gonna starve, not to be able to buy food for kids. You know?
I chatted to him as he took me on a little drive to see some signs of the hangover of property market excess.
Now, this is the village who I was told like that they start building, and I see if these houses are nearly finished, and then they're like, you know, but this is the village who it looks like a ghost town.
Well, it's
completely behind railings.
And as I said, like a few years ago, like you couldn't get a place.
Ireland is hardly the first country to have a cappuccino-style froth on top of its economy. Nothing unique about a property bubble turning into a banking crisis. But every possible outcome in such a situation is painful. You don't rescue the banks, you burden the bank depositors. You do rescue the banks, you burden the taxpayer. And if that's too much, you default on your loans and you push the problem onto the bondholders, to the people who've lent the government money. There is one other common solution. Print money to balance the books and thus create inflation. But Ireland is unusual. It's a member of the euro. It certainly can't print euros. It does, though, have one other option. It can be helped by other euro members. It's still painful, though, because you lose a little bit of your nationhood in accepting welfare. Historian Dermot Ferreter of University College Dublin wrote the book Ireland's Transformation 1900 to 2000. He explains nationhood has been hard fought.
It seemed to me that the S word was avoided until very, very recently, and I mean sovereignty. This is obviously now a crisis of sovereignty as well as everything else. That hasn't really been debated sufficiently in the recent past. It's a huge issue for Ireland. If you consider the justifiable prize that existed in the struggle for independence, which is approaching its centenary now, Irish politics for many decades afterwards was very much orientated towards maximising sovereignty and conducting Anglo-Irish relations in particular in that context. So that was a huge part of the political mission of Fianna Fáil, which of course still finds itself in power. So for a party that's so closely associated with the struggle for independence and was born out of that struggle for independence, it really is a huge issue.
Now I've arrived at the Dublin Institute of Technology. This is the campus where the Faculty of Business is housed. It's the largest business school in Ireland, as a matter of fact. Let's see what some of the students think.
I'm from Mullingar at the moment, and a lot of people from Mullingar are emigrating at the moment. They can't find any jobs, and it's difficult for people coming out of college at the moment.
So are you thinking you might have to leave?
I think I might have to leave, yeah. Like, maybe Australia, America, hopefully.
Growing up, I never planned to stay in Dublin, to be honest. Like, I'd always planned on going somewhere, whether it's like the UK or Europe. The grass is always greener.
Is it the unwinding of a clock, Ireland moving forwards into its past? There is certainly a sense of real ambivalence about any rescue. Joan Burton is the finance spokesperson for the opposition Labour Party.
Well, I have to say I'm extremely apprehensive about it. Remember that Ireland has two problems. Ireland has a very specific, unique banking problem brought about by a property bubble, brought about by the current government, and it is a mess very much of their creation. If a way can be found to deal with that over a slightly longer term framework, and if we can find a balance between reforming and reducing expenditure, but at the same time providing a pattern for growth, then I am very confident that Ireland can emerge, and perhaps we'll emerge the next time having learned some of the mistakes of the boom.
It should be said, of course, that as you walk around town, most normal life does continue. Employees go to work, the chickens lay eggs, and people enjoy a pint or two in the evening. It's just not quite as exhilarating when the economic trajectory is down, not up.